24th, 1948, one of the most unusual surgeries in the history of the world took place. Doctors operated on 30-year-old Harry Bishara, and it was heart surgery, which in those days was cutting edge. Now, here's what had happened. When Harry was a boy, he was shot in the heart. Miraculously, he didn't die, and in fact, the bullet actually lodged in his heart and remained there. But he continued to live. Doctors wanted to operate to remove the bullet, but they realized it was too delicate, too sensitive, that they could possibly do damage and even kill Harry if they tried surgery. So they allowed the bullet to remain in his heart, and Harry began to grow. But here was the problem. As Harry's body grew and his heart got bigger with age, this bullet formed scar tissue around the heart, and it began to gradually encase the heart with a hard shell. So when the heart should have been growing, it was in fact compressed. And as Harry got older, he was unable to live a normal life. Every little thing took effort, even to get up out of the chair, because his heart was unable to beat properly and send life-giving blood through his veins. Finally, when Harry was 30 years old, it was either have the operation to remove the scar tissue and the bullet, or face certain death. So doctors went in and gradually began to peel back that hard outer shell of scar tissue, just like you would peel the skin from an orange. Instantly, when the scar tissue was removed, Harry's heart expanded. It started beating regularly. Blood began to flow regularly through his body. And instantly, miraculously, and suddenly, new life came to Harry Bishara. When his heart was made new, when his heart was set free, Harry received a new lease on life. You may never have been shot. There may not be any physical bullet in your heart, but I suggest to you this morning that each and every one of us are like Harry Bishara. For you see, throughout our lives, we've been wounded by bullets. Bullets of rejection, bullets of discouragement, bullets of fear, bullets of betrayal, bullets of the wounds from broken relationships. And because of those bullets lodging in our hearts, when we keep them, their scar tissue forms and a hard outer shell encompasses our heart, constricting it so that we're unable to live and unable to love the way God intended. But if we will come to the Lord this morning and allow Him to do surgery spiritually upon us, if we'll allow Him to dislodge the bullets of bitterness and of blame that are inside our heart, if we'll allow Him to peel off the hard outer casing and renew our hearts and make them soft and loving again, we too can have a new lease on life. It may have happened to you when you were a child. Maybe a father cursed you or a mother discouraged you. It may have been a teacher or a friend who put you down. Or it may have happened when you were a youth or in university. Someone you loved didn't return that love to you. It may have been even recently in your own marriage where you found conflict arising and quarrels coming and words were spoken that lodged bullets of pain in your heart. But for wherever the bullet came from and whenever it occurred, today, God wants to come by the power of His Holy Spirit and deliver you from the restrictions and the scars that are hindering you from living and loving as He intended. That's what I believe God is going to do this morning. He's going to heal wounded hearts, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to revive us once again. I'm going to believe God with you that this morning every barrier from your heart will be removed so you can live and love as God intended. We're going to look at a couple from the Bible that faced those bullets, but by the power of God, they overcame and accomplished God's plan for their lives. And I believe the same will happen to us. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray today. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to soften our hearts today. Lord, every one of us has been buffeted by bullet wounds from our past. People have hurt us, words have been spoken, tempers have flared, blows have come, and we have been wounded. For many of us today, Lord, those wounds have formed scar tissue, which are hindering us from living and loving as you intended. So I ask you today that you would come into our hearts and do surgery. Dislodge the bullets of bitterness and blame. Soften our heart. Peel away the hard casing that surrounds us and let us be filled with your love. For Lord, no matter what relationships we have, whether married or single, we need your grace to overshadow us and to fill us with your power that we might love as you intend us to. I submit this people to you. I bind every spiritual force of darkness against us in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us, I command you to be silent in the name of Jesus. And I loose the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us this day, to restore hope to our hearts that we might love again. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. Just put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'd like to take a moment to say hello to all of those who are joining us online or on television today. We love you and we're glad that you're tuning in, and we're trusting that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit will meet you right where you are. If you're ever in Accra, we invite you to join us here in person at Agape House New Testament Church. Our warm welcome awaits you, and I'm sure the blessing of God will meet you here. I'm glad that you're here with me this morning because we're wrapping up the sermon series called Covenant Home. And as you know, for the past month, all of November, we've been studying God's plan for raising a family and building a home. And God's really blessed us. I know I've been blessed by the truth and by the power of God's word. And if you missed any of those sermons, I want you to run to the Resource Center after service is over, buy the CD, buy the DVD, get the notes, because it's going to be a continual blessing in your life. But here's the fact we must acknowledge today. As good as the truth has been, as much as the principles on marriage and family have helped us, we need something still remaining in order to put these into practice. And that is the grace and the power of God. You see, the truth is wonderful. We need it to change us. But unless the Holy Spirit comes to revive our hearts, we may easily fall back into the same old habits that led to our problems in the first place. I know that Jesus wants to do something supernatural in you today so that you can take the truth and practice it. Because too often we read books or we go to seminars, but a few months down the road, we've lost all of the impact of that teaching. But when the Holy Spirit comes and touches our hearts and brings us to the place of deliverance in our ministry, in our inside of our heart, then we can go forward and practice what God has given us. To help us come to that place of deliverance and of a new heart today, we're going to study as the story of one of the most famous couples in the Bible. For you see, this couple faced the same obstacles you and I face in our marriages and in our homes. And yet God allowed them to overcome. God gave them the grace to not have a hard heart, but a soft heart. And we can learn from their example this morning. To help us do that, we've printed sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin. They look like this. And I want to invite you to take those out now and follow along with me as we discover how to accomplish God's plan for your home based on the story of Mary and Joseph. Our scripture text for today is found at the top of your notes. It's also on the screen behind me. And if you happen to have a web-enabled device, you can look at the back of your notes and see that all of our notes are available online free of charge at uversion.com. Go there and you can log into Agape House. But I believe the Word of God has the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So we're going to take a moment to read this scripture out loud, Ephesians 5:31, a simple, plain statement. I want you to read it with me. Are you ready? Here we go. For this cause shall a man be joined unto his wife. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, throughout this series on Covenant Home, we've been focused on the fact that God has a plan for your marriage. Every home, every couple, every marriage has a purpose from God. And the Bible says, for this cause, meaning for this purpose, meaning that God has a destiny for every couple. That's why He brings them together. And no matter the condition of your marriage this morning, God still has a purpose and plan for you. You may feel that love has died. You may feel that hope is gone. You may feel that you're just living with a stranger, but God still has a purpose for your marriage. And He says, for this cause, I brought you together. And I want you to take heart and be encouraged today, because no matter how far you've fallen apart, God can restore and bring you back together. He has a plan for your marriage. If you believe it, say amen. That's certainly true of Mary and Joseph, the earthly parents of Jesus Christ. If ever there was a home with purpose, it was their home. If ever there was a divine purpose in bringing a man and a woman together, it was Joseph and Mary. For God chose them to be the earthly family for His own Son, Jesus Christ. And of all the couples that ever lived, God chose them. God chose Mary and Joseph. And that was a tremendous honor. It was a great privilege. Something that was so miraculous, we know God had a purpose for them. And yet, for every purpose of God, there are obstacles and enemies. For every good thing God decides to do, the enemy will come and fight against you. And even in your own marriage and in your own life today, in the relationships you have, there are obstacles that the enemy wants to put in your way to defeat and destroy you so that God's plan cannot be accomplished. And when we learn from Mary and Joseph's life, we'll see that they faced these very same obstacles that you and I faced, and yet by the power of God they were able to overcome. So let's take a closer look at their lives and see some of the obstacles that they faced that you also face and how they dealt with them. And here's the first obstacle that they faced. They faced the obstacle of disappointment, and they had to deal with disappointment. Just take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words deal and disappointment. They had to deal with disappointment. Now, at first glance, that might seem a bit strange. You might say, but Pastor, Mary and Joseph were blessed. They had the promise of God. They had angelic visitation. They had a purpose from God to bring the Son of God into the world. How could they have suffered setbacks or heartbreaks in their marriage? Since it was so obvious God brought them together, certainly they were exempt from disappointment. But the fact is, every couple faces disappointment. Even marriages made in heaven require maintenance here on earth. And no matter how great your calling, no matter how much God brought you together, no matter how many confirmations you have, you must understand today, every couple will face disappointment. That's what happened to Mary and Joseph. When we examine their story, we see it was full of disappointment. The story begins in Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Listen to what happened. Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now think about this for a moment. Here is the highlight of this young girl's life. Finally, she's got a man to marry. Finally, the plans are in place. She's been asked by Joseph, "Will you marry me?" She said yes, and the family has agreed. She's already got her invitations at the printer. She's picked out her wedding dress. And you know, ladies, the first thing you do when you get engaged is you pick your colors. Amen? I don't understand that. I don't know what it's all about. But the first thing, "Oh, Maybelle, do you have your colors?" She says, "Yes, mauve and plum." I'm like, "Mauve and plum? What is that? What happened to blue and pink? You know, mauve and plum." Ladies pick their colors. She'd picked her dress. She'd sent the invitations to the printer. She had a date booked at the temple. She'd informed her family and friends. She was talking to her caterer. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. Her family is ashamed, her fiancé is confused, the wedding dress won't fit, and she doesn't know what to do. She is disappointed. No wedding dress, no wedding plans, no family and friends at the temple. Pregnant and alone, Mary is the picture of disappointment. Imagine being right at the threshold of your wedding day with stars in your eyes and dreams in your heart, only to be told your fiancé is breaking it off. But it wasn't only Mary who was disappointed. Listen to what happened to Joseph. In Matthew 1, 24 to 25, the Bible says, when Joseph woke up, though he had made a decision not to marry Mary, the Bible says, when he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But, everybody say but, he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Hey. Now, it's not only Mary who's disappointed. Friends, I believe Joseph had the worst of all. Mary lost her ceremony, but Joseph lost, you know, the honeymoon. Imagine you've booked the hotel honeymoon suite at La Palme Royal Beach Hotel. You've chilled the champagne. You put on your cologne. You're thinking, this is it. I've waited long enough. Now's my chance. And suddenly the Holy Ghost comes and says, don't touch her. Hey! Erade? Hey! Are you sure? And he went from a honeymoon suite at La Palme to two bedrooms, two beds, and don't you dare touch her. If I were Joseph, I would have been disappointed. Very disappointed. Bitterly disappointed. Extremely disappointed. Tell your neighbor he was disappointed. The only good thing that was in this situation was the child was coming. But even there, they faced disappointment. They were ordered by the Roman government to travel. They couldn't deliver at home around family and friends. They had to go somewhere where there was no hospital, no doctor to attend to them. They went and delivered inside a manger and amongst the straw and the excrement of farm animals. All of their hope was gone. They were disappointed. These were not bad people. These were not sinners being punished. They were good people in the midst of God's plan, in the midst of God's destiny, called together, but they faced disappointment in life, disappointment in marriage, disappointment in relationships, disappointment in every area of their family. Maybe you're here today and you've faced the same type of disappointment. You've expected something different in your relationships, but all of them seem to crumble before your eyes. Maybe you've gotten interested in a young lady and she turned you down. Maybe you've had different men approach you, all of them to vanish away. Maybe you've even been proposed to, but the calendar keeps flipping. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and you stand at the threshold of 2014 with no prospect in sight. Or maybe you're disappointed right in the marriage you have right now. You thought it was going to be lovely. You thought it would be wonderful. You thought you'd be united in holy bliss and matrimony for the rest of your life. But it's turned to quarreling and tension and anger. Harsh words are spoken and you cry yourself to sleep every night. You're disappointed. And sometimes the greatest disappointments are the ones that come from hurt relationships and broken homes. But Mary and Joseph, in the midst of their disappointment, understood something. They understood that no matter the circumstances, no matter the setbacks, no matter the disappointment, God Himself can turn every situation around. So this is what they did. They began to believe in the Lord. Luke 1:28 says, Mary heard God's word and believed. It says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. And then in Luke 1:37, he said, nothing is impossible with God. And that's why I say the same words and the same promise to you today, that even though things are tough, even though your marriage isn't what you expected, even though your relationships haven't worked out, you are still the favored child of God, and nothing is impossible with God. He can turn your situation around. No matter the disappointments you face, no matter the bullets that have been shot at you, no matter the scar tissue around you, the Bible says He is with you to the end of the age. And the Bible says, though no one else loves you, God loves you, and His everlasting love will not fail you. And His word says that He has established you in your home. And His word says He's joined you together as man and woman. And His word says He has a purpose for your home. His word says, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. And when you cling to God's word and obey and believe God's word like Mary did, you will see the blessings of God turn your disappointment into appointment. Somebody shout hallelujah. For the blessing of God came upon Mary and Joseph, and even though they were personally disappointed, they had the expectation that God would turn it into an appointment. That's why Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In other words, everything that happened, all the setbacks and disappointments were used by God. All the frustrations were God's plan to bring about a change that would bless the world. And I believe there are many of you here today who are between that place of disappointment an appointment. You're here today because you feel as if God has left you, but God has not abandoned you. Your marriage is not over. The love can be restored. The love can be brought back, and God is going to use these troubled times to open new doors of blessing for you and through you by the grace of God.
When we build a covenant home according to God's design, then the husband and wife will find a common cause together for the glory and the purposes of the Lord. Now, in order to do that, you've got to deal with disappointment, because every one of us is going to be disappointed at some time in our marriage. You might find yourself unhappy with your husband or your wife for one reason or the other. There may be things that didn't turn out the way you expected. Like Mary and Joseph, things may not be as you have dreamed about. But nevertheless, when you drive out the disunity and dispel it from your life, when you come and deal with that disappointment by surrendering to God and trusting in His will and His plan, you're going to find a supernatural joy and strength that will carry you through and help you to find a common cause with your spouse. That's my prayer for you. And I'd like to pray with you right now that every disappointment, every discouragement in your marital home will be driven out, that God will help you to deal with it, and that you'll dispel disunity. Would you join me in praying right now? If you're watching or listening with your husband or wife, just join hands together and make a commitment and a covenant together that you're going to believe God for a greater breakthrough in your home. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every married couple today. I ask you to dispel disunity from their home and help them to deal with disappointment. We've seen from the life of Joseph and Mary, your earthly parents, how they dealt with disappointment and how you gave them grace. And through their obedience to your word, you brought about a wonderful salvation to the world. So, Lord, let us believe you today. Let us know and understand today that as we surrender fully to your will, and as we bring ourselves in alignment with your purposes, as we find ourselves establishing a covenant home according to your design, that we will have an impact not only in our families, but in the community and the world around us for your glory and for your praise. I thank you now, and I pray you bless every marriage in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm so glad you've joined me today. This was part one of our fifth lesson on Covenant Home here on Revelation. We've been looking at Common Cause. And just to take a moment to review, I want to tell you about some of the great things that we've learned so far. Remember, we started out talking about the fact that marriage is a covenant. And then we moved on to talk about communication and spirit-controlled emotions and contentment. And now we're finishing up with Common Cause. I hope you'll join me next week at this very time and day on this station for the final episode of Covenant Home. We're going to conclude this message on Common Cause, and I know it's going to be an eye-opener and a revelation in your life. I look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, may God richly bless you, and goodbye for now.